Our first reading is from Paul's letter to the Colossians.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. It's so nice to see all of you. So today we're going to look at this passage from Luke chapter 2 that Jeff just read to us about Jesus, Mary, and Joseph traveling to Jerusalem, right? And Jesus decides to stay there without telling his parents, and they freak out, right? So let's look at that passage today. There's some context here, right? So why are they making this trip? Well, Jews were supposed to make 3 trips a year to Jerusalem, and this is one of those trips that they're taking. This is the Passover trip, right? And Jesus is just 12, so he's just a year shy of being sort of a full-fledged man in their community. And so we know those things about the context. We also know that Luke had a particular purpose in mind when he was writing this gospel. And he tells us it's to tell of the things that were fulfilled. So the promises that were fulfilled, to tell it through eyewitness accounts so that the reader can be sure that what they're reading, that what they're learning, they can be certain that that's what happened. And some of what's written in Luke's gospel is kind of unexpected. You know, you might think, Luke, why did you include that? Like, I always think about the story that we read right before Christmas about pregnant Mary and pregnant Elizabeth meeting on the doorstep, and Elizabeth feels the baby moving. And I just think that's such a personal female story. Why did Luke include that? But it's those kind of details that are kind of unexpected that make me think, I think he's right. I mean, I think this really was what happened. It makes me believe more in the Bible when those unexpected things are in there. Luke had a purpose for everything that he included. And I think in every case, he's trying to tell us something more about who God is and something more about how we are to respond to him. I mean, we don't know why he includes so little about Jesus' childhood. We don't get much, but we can be sure that what he did include, he's got there for a purpose. this chapter, chapter 2, includes all of Jesus' childhood, right? It's got his birth, it's got his dedication in the temple, and then it's got this story. And each of those events is kind of tied to something very important to know about God, and it's said through a saying. Like, think about his birth. That's when the angels came and they said, you know, unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so the angels are telling us who Jesus really is. And then when Jesus was dedicated in the temple, you know, the prophets Simeon and Anna, you know, recognized him. This is the baby we've been waiting for, the Messiah. But Simeon goes on to say that Jesus is not just the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for, but he's going to be the light for revelation to the Gentiles. So those prophets are telling us who's going to benefit from this work of Jesus. And then we have this story. When we hear from Jesus himself, he says, I must be in my Father's house. He's the Son of God. So that's the context we're looking at. So I want us to use our imagination a little bit this morning. It's Christmas time, so we're pretty good at that, right? So imagine and think about these three questions. Because I think they're going to help us look more carefully at the story, but also just how we're supposed to respond to what we learn about Jesus in the story. So the first question is, like, what is Jesus doing? Or maybe like, Jesus, why are you doing that? Just look at where he is and what he's doing. The second one is, we think about Mary and Joseph in the story, right? And think about, well, what's it like to lose track of Jesus? And then the third story would be, where are we looking for Jesus? Those are the three questions. The first one, what is Jesus doing? So in this passage, we see Jesus, I mean, just being Jesus, right? He's in the temple, and he says he's in his Father's house. And I read that, and we've heard this story before, but do you ever have those moments when you're reading something in the Bible, and then suddenly you go, oh, wow, like, I've read that before, but it means something new to me now. And I was reading this, and I was thinking, Jesus is in the temple. Like, this is the temple that was built to be the place where God's presence dwelled, right? We all know that, but here is Jesus sitting in it. You know, this is the temple. This isn't Solomon's temple. That's been destroyed. And then, you know, the book of Ezra tells about this, the temple being rebuilt. And some people grumble that it wasn't as ornate as the first temple. It wasn't as great. But that temple, the second temple that people grumbled about, is the one in our story today. That's the one where Jesus is dedicated. That's the one where Jesus walks in and sits down and is teaching people. That's a pretty good temple. That's a place where Jesus, it's not just God's Holy Spirit there, but incarnate Jesus is there. So Jesus is in his Father's house. And some translations have that phrase a little differently. The Greek's a little ambiguous, apparently. So sometimes they have Jesus saying, it is necessary not to be in my Father's house, but it's necessary to be about my Father's work. But however it's translated, we can be sure that Jesus knows exactly where he is and exactly what he's doing and what his purpose is, and he's starting to live it out, even though he's still just barely a child on the brink of manhood. And this is the first of many times that Jesus is going to be someplace unexpected, and maybe even someplace where people are going to be mad that he's there. I mean, think about later on Jesus, you know, in Matthew and Mark's gospel, he's going to go to the tax collector's house and the Pharisees are going to be just steamed that he's there with a bunch of riffraff. Or think about in John's gospel when Jesus talks to the woman at the well and the disciples are thinking, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Jesus is not supposed to be just talking to women, you know, wherever he goes. But in each of those events and in our story today, it's like Jesus doesn't let the expectations of other people determine what he's doing. He knows his purpose. He knows what he's supposed to be doing, and that's where he is. So our second question is, what's it like to be looking for Jesus? So, you know, Mary and Joseph, well, they lose track of Jesus. You know, it'd be easy to say, Mary, you had one job, you know, right? You had one job to take care of Jesus and keep track of him. But I think we all sometimes lose track of Jesus, sometimes just a little, and sometimes a lot in our lives. And sometimes maybe it happens because we think we've got Jesus, you know, like at some point we made a decision or, you know, we had a time in our life when we were really faithful. And so we think we've got him, and then we go about our lives, even our religious business, like Mary and Joseph were doing, right, in the story and fulfilling their duty. And then we turn around and we think, actually, I feel pretty disconnected. I think I've lost track of Jesus a little bit. We can just get distracted or complacent. And I don't know about you, but it can especially happen at Christmas time when there's baking and shopping and cooking and all of cleaning and all of that to do, right? It can just be easy to just lose track a little bit and realize we've gone on and we think that Jesus is following us and we forget that we're supposed to be following him. But the thing is, Jesus isn't lost. Jesus isn't lost. We've lost track of him. And sometimes we need help making our way back to him, right? Maybe something happens that shakes our faith. And like Mary in the story, we say to Jesus, "How could you?" We're indignant. Why have you treated us like this? Okay. Sometimes when I'm reading this, I wish that we could hear some tone. Like, what was Mary's tone when she said to Jesus, "Why have you treated us like this?" Like, so I've raised a son, you know, and I know how I talked to him when he was 12 sometimes, you know. Is that how she sounded? And, you know, my son, of course, would never be disrespectful ever, but I know the tone that some 12-year-olds can have, right? Is that the tone that Jesus used? Or was it the tone of the Prince of Peace, right? Because let's not lose track of, even though this story is about Jesus' childhood and him only being 12, he is the Prince of Peace, mighty God, you know, wonderful Savior, all the things we read about and sing about at Christmas. That's him fully. So how did he respond? I don't know. I don't know, but he did. And Mary didn't understand why Jesus did what he did. And it's not going to be the last time that she's going to look at Jesus and say, "What are you doing?" And Jesus loved Mary, but he didn't always do things that made sense to her. And I think we can learn something about that, that even though we love Jesus and we know that he loves us, sometimes he doesn't always make sense to us. And so, you know, there are several times in Luke's gospel it talks about Mary pondered these things in her heart. She treasured these things. And I think it's another way of saying she didn't get it, and so she just stored it away to think about it, meditate on it, and just wonder about it. And I think we can do that too. But sometimes losing track of Jesus isn't just like a busyness thing or a complacency thing. Sometimes something bigger happens and we struggle and we have a hard time figuring out who is Jesus really. And so this is when I'm going to talk about the Alpha Course, because if big questions come up for you or you know someone for whom they just can't wrap their heads around it, they're disconnected. Maybe they used to go to church, or maybe, you know, just gotten out of the habit of it, and they're disconnected. Alpha can be a great place to find other people who are asking those questions. You can use any tone you want and ask those questions to try to get reconnected. But that leads us to our third question, which is, where are we looking for Jesus? You know, when I read this story, I was thinking about how we might have some kids with us in the next service. And so I was picturing Mary and Joseph, you know, looking all over Jerusalem. 3 days it took them to find him. Like, where did they think he was? I don't know. But I pictured, remember those family circus cartoons and the little boy, I can't remember his name, and he would travel all over. He would take a really, you know, circuitous path and the little footprints. So I picture Mary and Joseph's little footprints all over Jerusalem, checking out all the places they thought that Jesus might go, and then eventually finding him in the temple. What was it about Jesus and his life so far that didn't make them think, oh, maybe he'd be in the temple? They checked a lot of other places first, I think. Who were they looking for? Who are we looking for? You know, sometimes I think we look for Jesus how we remember him or how we imagine him to be. And so we look for, like, the last place we felt connected, which, you know, church is a good place to look, right? And you guys are all here. Good job. Like Patrick said, it's not easy to get here on Sunday after Christmas. But I think that's why it's so important to develop a habit of reading the Bible, so that we don't lose track of who Jesus really is. I think when we get away from that, we can kind of start to remake Jesus who we'd like him to be, instead of who he really was, what he said, what he did. It reminds us of that. And so Patrick's going to talk about the Bible in 1 year in a little bit. I love it for just having a plan in place, having a plan in place for reading the Bible. You know, sometimes I go off and I do other plans or other readings, but I know that I can come back to that and have a plan. Or maybe you just want to finish out Luke's gospel in those last few days before the end of the year, if you've gotten off track. You know, you've already had the first two chapters read to you, so you only have the next 22. You can do that. But it's important to read, to really ground ourselves in who Jesus really is. Sometimes we lose track of Jesus, but Jesus isn't lost. He's right where he needs to be. He's doing what is necessary for him to do. But sometimes we need help making our way back to him. So on this second day of Christmas today, I just want to encourage you to make a plan for reconnecting if you feel like you've lost track a little bit. So let me pray for us. Lord, in this season of celebrating your birth, we still sometimes get lost. And we get busy and we forget where you are and who you are to us. And so, Lord, we just ask you to help us see who you are, what you're doing. Help us to see that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.